What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Blind Tag Podcast. This time, number 23. With me in the studio is
Joe.
And we're going to be talking about the fallout of Over the Limit, where it's going from here into No Way Out. So, without further ado, let's get kicked into the show. Ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go!
Yay!
So, what's up, guys? Sorry about the delay in getting number 23 to you. We had a few things come up that we needed to attend to and stuff like that. So we weren't able to do the review show like we promised. It's a little bit of time has kind of passed since then, so we're not really going to jump on that.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. WWE time, that's like a million years. It's like dog years to human years.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, we may do an Over the Limit pay-per-view in the future where we, if we just rewatch the show. If not, I give that show a B-, C-plus cusp.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. That's what I give it.
The title matches were good, and the rest of it was
too many filler matches. Yeah. Predictable throughout. You know, that's my only issues with it.
Yeah.
But you know, moving off of there, we've now had a couple of weeks to see where they're going with it and some interesting twists and turns. I'm going to be completely honest. I did watch Raw, but I didn't make notes this week.
Yes.
And neither did Joe.
No.
So we're going to be looking at the results online and talking through them.
With our own opinions. We're not going to read out some website. Just read.
And they said this? No, agreed. Agreed. Yeah, it's going to be what we think, obviously. So are you good to go?
I'm very good to go.
Oh, also, in case you guys haven't already checked it out, we've got a new look sort of Blind Tag website at blindtagpodcast.com. Be sure to check it out. We want to push a more kind of almost editorial magazine blog style with it. So if you have opinions that you want to share, write up an article and we can post it for you. You know, we'd be more than happy to do that. So yeah, just get in contact with us at blindtagpodcast@gmail.com, you know. Let us know what you think of the site. There are background issues that I'm aware of because of WordPress's limitations. So forgive that, please. We're too cheap to buy somebody to make a website for us, so it's just the best that we can do. It looks best on a 15-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
I know that much.
Yeah.
So there's that. Sorry, I'm just looking at Arkham City. That's on my desk. I need to download the new DLC where you can be Robin. But not like Burt Ward Robin.
Oh. Right.
No.
Okay. Chris O'Donnell. Chum.
Yeah, not him. It's... Literally, if you played Arkham City, you know that Robin's exposure in that game is he appears, he goes, "Hey, Batman." Batman goes, "Go away." and Robin goes, "All right, see you later."
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. So I'm looking forward to playing. It's called Harley Quinn's Revenge, but this isn't a video game podcast. This is a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
So you know what? Let's start talking about some wrestling.
Okay.
Awesome. Cool. So let's start off with Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
And kicking off was The Big Show.
Yeah.
Coming out, wearing a suit and shit like that, looking suited and booted.
It's because he's a heel now.
Yeah, he has to look smart.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, like him in a suit, Big Show wearing clothes makes him look hideously obese. Like, they all fit really loose and stuff like that. He just looks really, really fat.
Yeah.
Whereas in his ring gear, I mean, he looks big, but not that big. So I don't know what the deal is with that, don't you think?
Because he can't wear that silly bandana anymore.
Or the do-rag.
It's awful. Yeah.
But he's not like other wrestlers, because other wrestlers wear their own shirts.
Yeah.
You know, that's like a band wearing their own band shirt, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Mm. So, show smiles as the crowd boos him. Okay, I'm reading it now. Oops. So, Big Show comes out, and he tries to give an explanation, right? A justification as to why he did
basically,
what he did.
Yeah, he's saying that when he was begging for his job, when he was crying, nobody came. Nobody came to help him. He's going, "Johnny, are you happy now?
Like, are you happy now, Johnny?"
And he was saying that, he made a good point. He was saying that after that segment, Brodus Clay came out and started dancing. And this really upset the Big Show. He was like, "He's dancing!"
Didn't we make fun of that fact on the podcast?
Yeah, because it was such as, like, it was so...
It was a handbrake.
It was such a jarring thing.
That's what we called it. It was a handbrake.
Lawler and Cole were, like, devastated about the Big Show. Then Brodus Clay just comes out.
Yeah, we did talk about it. I remember because I said, so, Michael Cole said, "Oh, well, can't grieve forever."
And that was up. Show was upset. He mentioned that, you know, all his friends like Kofi and R-Truth didn't come to his aid. He says if the fans, you know, didn't really care. But the worst part about it was that John Cena, who he thought was his buddy, you know, he had the chance to sort of tell Johnny Ace to give him his job back, but instead he just made silly jokes and called him a loser and stuff. And yeah, so that's why the Big Show attacked him, and now he's a heel. And that's it.
You sound almost depressed.
Every time there's a heel turn now, it's just like, oh, I don't like the fans anymore.
Yeah, that's what R-Truth did just last summer.
That's what Christian did last summer, and that's what they all do. So.
But. So I mean, Big Show's reasoning, storyline-wise, is saying that he's now set for life, that he can do whatever he wants because he has the power of Laurinaitis behind him.
Yeah, he gave a new contract with a big old bonus or something, so he can do what he wants when he wants.
So he's not only... I think that's what they're trying to add here, is he's not just an angry giant now, which is every other Big Show heel turn has always been, I'm an angry giant.
I'm angry now.
Yeah. they're adding the power play of him having almost ultimate control over himself and not having to suffer any repercussions, stuff like that, which should hopefully be an interesting addition to him.
Yeah.
Big Show's not been interesting to me for years.
No. Not really. No, I remember the last time I remember a feud or a storyline that he was in that I actually got really involved with. But
I enjoyed, was it him versus Mankind?
That was pretty good, yeah.
It was like 2002, 2000?
Something like that.
I hate it. It's really depressing when you can just gloss over a couple of years like that.
Yeah.
Was it 2000 or 2002? There's quite a lot of time difference there. But apparently it doesn't fucking matter. Incidentally, I mean, I just pitched Joe an idea because he wants to write for the site, don't you, Joe?
I do, yes.
You're trying to come up with some articles. Mm-hmm. We have Craig Wood posting now, although I've not heard from him in a little while.
No.
Because it took me ages to upload the top five FCW article he gave me. So here is public announcement. I'm sorry it took me so long. If you want to continue writing for us, dude, just let us know. Send over your stuff.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed his Bret Hart review, his Greatest Rivals DVD review. That was good. Yeah, we're really going for a kind of magazine vibe. So if you're a fan of like Fighting Spirit, stuff like that, and just articles and opinions and stuff like that about this sport, this crazy sport we call wrestling, check it out. But back on track, Joe was trying to struggling to think of a theme, so I said, why don't you write about the biggest
show?
Big Show,
because the amount of times since he's joined the company in 1999, so in that 13 years, he's turned heel, he's turned face so many times now, and you know, it's really anymore. Is it really, you know, that much of a surprise or a shock or a, you know, does it have any more impact when he does do it anymore?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter because you know he's
in the grand scheme of it. This time next year, he'll be a face again. So,
yeah. You can say that about any wrestler though. Really, it's what they do as their time as a heel that matters. Like Daniel Bryan as a heel is amazing.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler as a heel is amazing. Other people don't seem to really utilize it as well as they could. You know, there's some people who they've tried to make face who blatantly should just be heels in the past. Like, who am I thinking of? I've got people on top of my head, but I can't pull them down.
Not recently.
Yeah, just anyone that they've tried to make a face but blatantly should be a heel. Like Orton, as an example.
Yeah.
Orton is such a shitty face. He's so boring and one-dimensional. But as a heel, he instantly becomes a bit more interesting.
Because when he was a heel and they had him going around punting everyone.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing where the crowd start enjoying it. I think that's what they were doing.
The crowd is sick fucks, that's why.
Basically, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. The one that, when Orton attacked Triple H in his home. No, Triple H attacked Orton in his home, threw him through windows and shit like that.
That was amazing.
And his fake girlfriend was there going, "Aah!"
That was one of the greatest segments ever.
Ever. And then they arrested him.
In the front garden, yeah.
It was so funny. Like, if you didn't know you were tuning into Raw, you would have thought you were watching a soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, there's that. Big Show comes out, says his piece.
He vows to knock him out at No Way Out.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm even really interested in this.
No.
Really.
This match, no. Even though they've now made it, I don't know, was it on the show they made it a steel cage match? I think Johnny Ace just announced it on one of the shows.
Yeah, it was.
Just casually went, oh, steel cage match, by the way.
It's better than on SmackDown. Johnny Ace was there for 2 seconds. Yeah, just true. Came out and went, triple threat, people power.
It must have been the show then. He just went, by the way, it's a steel cage match at No Way Out.
Unless they announce it online, which they're doing more and more now.
But yeah, so I'm not really excited about it, but...
It simply comes down to Big Show.
Yeah.
I'm not excited because of Big Show. I don't care about the Big Show. But, I mean, I've never really cared about the Big Show.
This promo is pretty good, I thought, you know, but it's just...
Yeah, this is... I've seen... I've seen him at a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot worse, sorry, yeah. on the mic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see where it goes from here. Maybe it'll captivate me. Maybe it'll grab me. But right now, it's a big miss for me. So, first match of the night is Alberto Del Rio versus Santino Marella.
Yes.
Thoughts.
Well, what the idea here is that in the last couple of weeks, Santino has been having a feud with Ricardo Rodriguez, the U.S. champion,
mid-card
title
right?
holder, feuding with an announcer.
Yep.
They had a
wouldn't be the first time. Look at Michael Cole getting involved.
That's true. That's true. They had a match on SmackDown last week, and it was like a comedy match. Santino won. So now Alberto's come.
Do we use comedy loosely?
Yes, very loosely.
Very loosely.
Yeah, but Alberto's come to sort of defend Ricardo's honour, I suppose. It should be more important things to worry about. Like, he's got a title match at the pay-per-view. But
all this is, I mean, just how far has Del Rio fallen, really? Unless he's probably going to try another power play in the future, because he was going to leave, like, last year.
Right.
And then they promised him the world. They made him the winner of the Royal Rumble. They gave him the belt, stuff like that. To keep him around, but since being injured and coming back, they've not utilized Del Rio properly at all.
No.
It's just such a shame, because I am a Del Rio fan. I think he's got a lot of potential that's not even been tapped yet, because he was obviously comes from a wrestling background from Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So he's more familiar with the Mexican style than he is the U.S. WWE style, but he's adapted very, very well. So, I mean, I want to see Alberto Del Rio go from strength to strength, but it's fucking annoying, because you know going into this match, he ain't going to win.
He's not going to beat Sheamus.
Yeah.
No.
Sheamus just has a new shirt out. There's no way they're going to take away from those sales.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. It's the thing, it's just not changed. It hasn't changed in like 2 years either. He's just come in,
yeah,
doing the same shit, the same old promos all the time. And
Punk called him out on it, and unfortunately, yeah. I mean,
it's still true. It's
when he first came out and started it was good, but then you're right, yeah, it started to become a bit hackneyed. And like, what is it? When he yells out Destiny, yeah, before he locks on the arm, bar. Problem is, sometimes when he does it, you don't even understand what he's saying. He goes, "Yeah, Judy."
There's a time last year, I think, when he won the Rumble.
Destiny.
And every time he came out, you knew what he was going to say. You knew what he would do. He'd come out and go, "My destiny is to blah blah blah," and you knew what he'd be like. Oh,
hey, Holmes.
I don't care.
My destiny.
Like, he won the WWE title. Like, he had two reigns last year with the title, and he just
nothing reigns.
Remembers, yeah, it's
nothing
pointless.
Reigns.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking shame, because it should have been a lot better, because their mistake was having him lose it in the first place and then giving him a second reign.
Yeah,
they should have just had a longer single title reign is what he should have had. Because he won it back the month after.
Yeah.
It literally just jumped between them.
Yeah.
Dumb.
But there we go.
So, without much surprise, Del Rio wins
this
match.
Del Rio wins in about a minute.
Yeah. Did you hear about the rumors about them wanting to unite the U.S. and Intercontinental belts for a while?
Yeah, I did. I did hear that. And it seemed like they were going to do that, because they were having Santino and Cody doing some Twitter thing where they were saying, what's the better belt?
Yeah.
But then Cody lost the belt at the pay-per-view, so maybe they dropped
it. That's over now, because Christian has the belt now.
Yeah.
Old man Christian.
But I don't think they should. I think just, I don't know. I don't mind it as it is.
Well, it seems a bit silly to me to unify a mid-card belt and
unify
not the
belts.
Main titles.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't make sense to me.
There we go.
Well, what are you going to do? And let's not forget as well that Del Rio goes out of his way to embarrass Santino at the end of this match.
Yeah.
Taking off the cobra, stuffing it down his mouth, stuff like that.
Ricardo gets in his face and goes, says that Del Rio is the winner.
Del Rio!
I can't.
You can't roll your R's?
Not really. No.
You're an awful announcer. Let's have a feud.
Okay.
Let's feud it out, Crimson.
WrestleMania.
I mean, Magenta. So Eve Torridge.
Eve Torridge.
Is backstage with Alex Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Another random appearance from Alex Riley.
I hate Alex Riley. The less Alex Riley, the better. And then Big Show walks up to him.
Yeah.
And she announces that he can pick his opponent tonight. And then Alex Riley drops to his knees, tries to put Big Show in his mouth to say, please don't pick me.
Yeah.
Big Show goes, get the fuck off me. I would not like a male-to-male blowjob. Thank you very much. Besides, you're not my opponent. Or am I remembering this wrong?
I don't think he did that. I don't think he said the blowjob part.
Are you sure?
He said, because it's weird, because Riley was like, I don't know what he was doing. He was going to Eve, oh, like, you did a really good job. It was like he was, but he's a face. I don't know what he's trying to achieve.
He's not a face. He's a
TV time.
Yeah, he's so off TV. He's not a face. He's not a heel. He's just Alex Riley.
He's Alex Riley now.
Exactly.
Big Show says, don't worry, you're not my opponent, but I'm going to hurt you anyway, and throws him into a wall. That was nice.
Knocks him out straight away.
Yeah, just
He took it, though. I got to say, Alex Riley took that.
Into the wall you go, my friend.
Yeah, I've never seen him look better.
Poor Riley. Poor guy.
Fuck you, Alex Riley. Suck, dude. Not very... Come on. Like, his work... Be honest. His work rate is not great.
You know what? It's funny, though.
The closest he came to being good was when he was riding the Miz's coattails.
It's funny, because he's still kind of... Like, he's still fairly over. He has, matches on, the shows that no one cares about. And he comes out. You can see the crowd reacting to him. It's weird, because he's like... Isn't that anything significant since last summer when he was in the feud with The Miz?
Yeah, I was going to say, for a really short time, it looked they were going to push him quite a bit into the mid-card with his feud with The Miz.
Yeah.
I mean, the original aim was surely to have The Miz stay in the main event with Riley rocking the mid-card to upper mid-card out of that feud.
Mm.
And it just didn't happen.
But then they just thought, no. No.
It's Riley's
back
fault.
Back down you go, Riley.
It's good. He's got a stupid haircut. Dumb moveset. He's not very good. His work rate's just not that solid. That's all it is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If I was producing that, man, I would just be like, get him off my show. Gone.
Fair enough.
Grow your hair out and come back. That's right. What I'd say.
Okay.
This isn't just predicated on his haircut.
No.
Can I just say,
your hair sucks.
You can't Therefore do this. You your hair is terrible. Go get rid of the hairstyle. I just don't think he's that great. It's like Heath Slater. Like, I really don't like Heath Slater because he looks weird. And not only that, but it just happens to tie in with the fact his work is terrible. He's so bad.
I don't think he's that bad.
He's bad. He's bad. He's okay. Boring. His time in Nexus, he didn't... In fairness, nobody in Nexus really did anything.
Nexus, yeah.
Yeah, in fairness.
Really.
But I don't know. He never did anything to impress me. It's not like Wade Barrett, where Wade Barrett turned my opinion around on him, where I didn't used to like him, but through solid work rate, good microphone skills, and stuff like that, he was able to get more TV time.
That's the problem with Riley and Slater. They're just not being used. They haven't really had a chance, have they, really?
I don't know if they have that excuse anymore, though, because there's so much WWE integration online.
Yeah, that's true.
My friend was showing me this stuff. What was it called? After the Bell or something like that?
Yeah, they have segments on the YouTube channel. It's
That stuff was really interesting. It's a bit long, I think, at 15 minutes. But it's interesting to catch up with everybody after their matches because they essentially cut a promo.
Yeah,
and it's giving them time to talk about it. Like, I saw the Usos cut a really good promo about the tag team division.
Right.
And that's not even shown on TV.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it was actually really good.
How many people will actually see all that on the YouTube?
That's the point. You have to go out of your way to further their characters, you know?
Yeah.
And they're doing the work, but nobody's seeing it. So it just seems pretty stupid to me. Yeah. I don't know. So next up is the tag team title match. Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler versus R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. And finally, the thing that they've been teasing and hinting towards for months and months and months finally happens.
Looks like it's going to finally happen.
Yeah.
Ziggler said, well, the match happened.
Well, first off, yeah, they had to lose it for it to happen.
Truth and Kofi Kingston just won.
Yep, we can skip that. It was a pretty good match.
The pay-per-view match was better, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This match served a storyline purpose, is what it did. But basically, Ziggler got fed up. Man, he was tired of losing.
Ziggler says, I am better than this. And everyone in the world agreed with him.
Except Jack Swagger.
Except Swagger. But yeah.
So but yeah, it's a long time coming. They've been hinting at it for a while, you know, and even for a short while, he seemed... I wouldn't blame him if he was annoyed. Sorry. I wouldn't blame him if he was annoyed that... just accidentally playing footsie under
the
table.
We just played footsie.
Yeah,
nice.
By mistake.
I enjoyed it.
What is it? I lost my train of thought now. Him being annoyed because for a while it looked like they were about to be billed as the show-offs, and I would not have blamed Ziggler to be very annoyed by that, because considering there's something he came up with and pushed himself, and Swagger just was just riding that until he got repackaged as the most handsome Jack Swagger. That is funny.
The most handsome Jack Swagger.
The most handsome man ever.
Looks like Biff. I don't count Biff as the most handsome man ever. Sorry,
he needs a model gimmick to really push it. Like, really comes out like
Rick Martel.
Like a catwalk. Jack Swagger just like some techno music.
They did that one time. Do you remember?
Did they?
Yeah, they did that with who was it? It was from Rene Dupree and his tag partner, Sylvain. Sylvain Grenier. And then he was with Maurice for a while.
I forgot all about that. Wow.
Talk about scanning the memory banks for a lower mid-card.
Sylvain Grenier.
Yeah, a lower mid-card character circa 2007, 2005.
Somewhere like that.
Yeah, 05, 06.
Oh, man, yeah.
Sylvain.
I think it'd be funny to see Swagger sort of like... doing cat. I mean, him and Vicky walking down a catwalk, doing like poses and stuff. Probably quite good, I think.
But yeah, I mean, this is leading to that breakup. I don't know if they're going to turn Jack Swagger face off.
That's what I'm thinking. Is he going to carry on just as a heel on his own now, or is he going to turn face? Or
I think if anything, he'll become an anti-hero. Like he'll maybe be cheered, you know?
Yeah,
because his work rate speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Well, you hear it all the time now. Just you hear the guys in crowd cheer him. And
let's
you,
go Ziggler. Yeah,
yeah, and you only hear the higher pitched women and children boo him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a fucking Cena thing, you know? The let's go Cena. Cena sucks. That kind of thing. But with Ziggler, more Ziggleriness almost. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't buy Jack Swagger as a face. I have no idea this what they would do.
The only thing I could think is that if he was going to be a face, it'd have to be some sort of like a wacky sort of... He couldn't be
goofy.
It'd have to be... Yeah.
So literally, he would have to continue stealing from Kurt Angle.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that. Let's see where that goes from here. I mean, I'm kind of interested in seeing... It's such a shame because I like Swagger, but guess what? I like Ziggler more.
I was going to mention this later, but I might as well do it now. Because what I read was that... Because a bit later, was Ziggler was saying... When he was looking at Orton on the screen, he was going, oh, I want to be like that. I want to sort of break out.
What, be suspended for 60 days?
Yeah, and obviously now Orton's been suspended for 60 days. It's just a big news coming
out.
Did
you see what I tweeted about that?
No.
Right, I said, wait, let me find it. So apparently with their match at No Way Out,
yeah,
Ziggler was originally going to replace Jericho.
Jericho was suspended for kicking a flag.
kicking a flag.
Kicked the Brazilian flag, which is apparently
illegal. I've seen Ric Flair do worse to his suit.
JBL did the Nazi ghost step.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't get suspended.
Bullshit.
That was even worse. Far worse than what Jericho did.
Yeah, absolutely. But yes. I think it's just highlighting it's a different time.
Because they made him, if you read the thing, they made him apologize during the match. He had to get on the mic and say, sorry, I kicked your flag.
He did.
Yeah.
So I don't see why it's such a big deal.
Obviously, just a sort of...
I'm enjoying his countdown, though. Have you been following this?
Has he been doing it?
Every day he does facts about the numbers...
Because obviously they were set up for a Jericho versus Orton match. And
exactly. Like really but big. Now, right? So I tweeted, so Orton is suspended now too? So who will replace Orton to face Ziggler, who is replacing Jericho?
This is it.
So what's happening?
Maybe Ziggler won't have a match.
Ziggler versus Ziggler.
Ziggler, maybe just Ziggler versus Swagger. Just throw it out there.
Terrible.
Straight away, just be like, yeah.
That would be awful.
I'm not sure, but yeah. Because obviously that would have been Ziggler's, you know, trying to showcase himself on pay-per-view against Orton.
An attempt to get back into the main event slot, or at least the upper mid-card, which is where he was with his Punk fight in January.
Earlier in the
Seems so long ago now.
Doesn't it?
5 months ago, jeez. Mm. You know, this month, this podcast has been going a year.
Wow.
It's almost a year old. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe it.
I'm not entirely sure when, but let me find out. So the first show actually took place after Capital Punishment 2011.
Well, I haven't been here the whole time, to be fair.
A lot has changed over this time.
Yeah.
We've seen people come, we've seen people go. We've seen people kind of come and go.
We've had good times and bad times.
Yeah.
Good shows and bad shows.
I'd like to think out of the 23-plus shows we've done, because obviously the pay-per-view shows originally were separate shows.
Yeah.
There's a lot more good times than bad.
Me and Brad did a couple of bad shows. But yeah.
Yeah. We try to have fun. We try to have a good time. And I hope that comes across.
Yes.
You know, sometime, I mean, there was one podcast. Actually, we should really just save this for a birthday show where we just talk about us. We'll do a birthday show for us, the 1 year recap for us. So look forward to that.
Yeah. We'll be playing highlight clips.
You want to listen to through all the podcasts again?
No.
No, you mean yes, because the product's that good. You want to say yes.
Oh, yeah, no, I do, yeah.
I'll tell you what, there is replayability on some of them, because some of the conversations we have, some of the tangents we go on are so random and funny.
Yeah.
It's worth listening to. I'll always be really happy with how we came up with the character of Magenta, and just like a couple of shows ago, the character of the Penetrator and stuff like that. Because it came through natural conversation, that's what was funny about it. Anyway, let's push on with this.
Anyway.
Yeah, let's get back to this. Yeah.
We're not very interesting.
Well, I am. I don't know about you. Cool. So, back on track. John Laurinaitis is on a scooter back from commercial.
Yes.
He's got David Otunga, Andy Torres at his side. And it's at this point that he announced Big Show versus Brodus Clay.
Right.
He then announces Big Show versus John Cena at No Way Out.
Okay.
Which will now be...
Right. This is it, yeah. This is what,
what you're like when you're watching the show?
Yeah.
When he's like out there, he's like, this is it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Steel cage match is going to happen. It's going to happen. And then he goes, it will be a steel cage match. And you're like, I fucking knew it.
The crowd was like, yay.
Hooray. And what was really important here is we'd find out the cover of the new WWE 13 video game, which I'm really looking forward to. We're going to be utilizing that game a lot more for the Dream matches because WWE 12 fucking sucks. It's servers. Like, I like the game itself, but I was struggling. I tweeted about this last night, right? I was watching the UFC Ultimate Fighter finales last night. That show is about 2 hours long. During that entire time, I was just going through the community forums, trying over and over and over again, trying to download a Kevin Steen and a Bobby Roode. That's it. And I couldn't fucking do it because the servers are so shitty. So I'm looking forward to 13, not only because I'm going to get it on the Xbox because there's a better community community feel there, apparently, with more create wrestlers that look amazing compared to PS3. Although I don't know if that's going to be necessarily true now because it'll come to the layers, blah, blah, blah. Those who know what I'm talking about are nodding their heads. Those have no idea are just going, shut the fuck up, dude, seriously. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, especially because of the Attitude Era push. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
But John Laurinaitis is on the cover.
Yeah.
People power. People power.
People wanted to see that. That's what they wanted.
Until CM Punk comes out, that is.
Is he a playable character, John Laurinaitis?
I hope so. In all seriousness, I hope that there is a People Power edition because I would buy that. I would buy the People Power edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet.
See John Laurinaitis' figure of hope every time I go to play it. I hope that he does all the sound effects.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, like, you know, it goes press start, and you press it, goes, press start! Select character! Just like that. I would really
that would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he did the commentary as well and was the referee. So he's like, 1, 2. That'd be great. Just Laurinaitis everything. Laurinaitis edition. That's what it needs. But who comes out? CM Punk comes out for his title match.
That rascal Punk.
It's not a title match, is it?
It's non-title.
No, non-title. Non-title match against Daniel Bryan. But before D-Bry comes out, he just has to fucking upstage John Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
And he makes a couple of dick jokes as he does it, which is always pretty funny. Right?
Is it funny?
All the explosions, the huge one falls down, there's CM Punk. But what's weird is the cover doesn't look like him. Like, obviously it's meant to be him, but it doesn't look like a photo. It looks like CG.
Oh, right. I didn't even notice, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I don't know if it's just all the effects in Photoshop they put on him, but it doesn't
look
completely real, which is really weird. I think the last time they did that same explosion with something falling down to reveal, I think that was for either a Playboy cover
or
do you remember the one when Vince McMahon was in the cover of Muscle and Fitness and he was carrying
that huge
cardboard one of him around everywhere. That was funny. But yeah, and then he was like, I don't mean to point it out, but mine's bigger than yours. I saw Eve looking.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. That made me chuckle.
And then Johnny Ace just goes, okay, good luck then. Walks off. So,
that's super
weird.
Heel.
That's kind of weird. It was like,
him going, right. Okay. And he almost sat in the gum. Don't forget that. He almost sat in the gum.
Oh, yeah, he put his gum on the scooter.
And he almost forgot about it, but thankfully David Otunga was there earning his paycheck.
That dastardly punk with his gum.
What a rebel.
Ugh.
Absolute rebel.
Pipe bomb. Wrigley's pipe bomb.
Is that akin to putting like a whoopee cushion down just so he sits down?
Yeah.
So fucking juvenile. But yeah, okay, whatever. Daniel Bryan comes out, and how do you think this match was compared to their Over the Limit match?
The Over the Limit match was really, 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 really good.
Yep. It was wrestling personified.
Yeah. And this wasn't obviously because it was a TV match.
I will throw this just quickly.
Go on.
Iffy finish, in my opinion. But
I thought that about the finish as well. It was kind of like,
I didn't even think it was very smart. I just thought it was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But whatever.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so it wasn't as good because it's like a more condensed, it was a TV match and they had a break in the middle of it and stuff like that. But obviously it was good. It's always going to be good with these two.
For a TV match, it was very, very good. What was good about it is they gave it time.
Yeah.
They actually dedicated quite a bit of time to it and they were able to put on a really good match because of it.
Yeah.
I can't really think of any.
I think they know enough to let these two just go.
Yeah, man.
To be honest with you.
I can't really remember any specific spots for the match, but I just remember really enjoying it.
The main thing with the match was AJ came out dressed as CM Punk's shirt.
Have you seen the new t-shirt they brought out? It's really fucking lazy.
Yeah, it's not
compared to the awesome, the white one, and then I wasn't a big fan of the In Punk We Trust shirt, I'll be honest with you. But
yeah.
This
yeah.
one, I think, is really just tacky. I don't like good. It.
Yeah.
Just, I dig crazy chicks, CM Punk.
I dig crazy, yeah.
That's it.
So I think the idea now is AJ sort of has a crush on him.
She's embracing a crush, yeah. I think, is the wrong word. I think obsession.
A weird, yeah, sort of.
Obsession. Right. Yeah. Stalkery.
She's good, though. She's good.
I wouldn't mind being stalked by somebody like AJ, dude. I know he's complaining about.
No, yeah, I'd quite
thing
enjoy
is,
it.
Though, Punk has also said that he likes crazy chicks, which surely means they're going to end up boning, right?
It is CM Punk.
Yeah. Yeah. CM Punk likes to work his way through the divas. Come on. Who are we fucking kidding?
It's inevitable.
Phil likes to fuck with a PH.
That's right.
That's it. Phil likes to get his fill of the divas. Oh, come on.
Oh, shit.
Come on.
Yep.
That wasn't too bad. Fill her up.
It's going to use.
This is another one.
It's Anaconda. That's what word, is it?
Anacondom Vice.
Anaconda Vice joke. I can really.
It's just Anacondom.
She won't be going to sleep because she'll be banging her all night. That's, yeah. So that Daniel Bryan wins with the exposed turnbuckle. Not seen that in a while, that finish.
Yeah.
So, it's good to him, though. It's quite a big win for him. It's good to see him actually get a...
Well, the best thing that's coming out of this is the fact it's leading to another confrontation between them. But unfortunately, find out on SmackDown,
yeah.
There's a monkey wrench thrown in. But what's stupid about it, right? What's stupid right. is if yeah. you actually look back, it does make sense to put Kane in this, given how they've given used him in the storyline.
Well,
how
they've built it, yeah, but...
It does take away from their best of three, though.
Yeah.
That being said, though, whoever wins this match, if it's D-Bry or Punk, it could lead to a justified rubber match still, because they could just be like, we never had our third match.
Yeah, proper, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they can build it up towards an Iron Man match. Sort of, and everyone business, can be yeah. happy.
But that's the gimmick match coming up soon, isn't it?
You know what they one. Need? Another one?
Well, they did. Well,
Three Stages of Hell. Do you remember Three Stages of Hell?
Yeah.
Wasn't there like only one time there was a Three Stages of Hell match?
There might have been two. There was one Triple H Austin.
Yeah.
No Way Out 2001. One of the best matches ever.
That's how I remember that.
There's another one, I think it was Orton Triple H, I think.
Really?
I think Orton? So. In like 2009. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Well, one of them was a stretcher match. I remember that was the end. That was the final one.
That sounds dumb.
It wasn't that good. It wasn't that nobody near as good. But
I think that either an Iron Man match or something like that would be good, because you want them to utilize their full skills. So
yeah.
The reason I say Three Stages of Hell is you'd have the regular pinfall, you'd have a submission version match of that, Anaconda Vice versus the Yes Lock,
yeah.
And you'd have one other kind of stip.
Maybe like a cage or something.
Yeah, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you utilize... Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
That'd be good.
Yeah. But yeah, D-Bry wins. It's always good to see a D-Bry win. And
yeah.
It's nice to see AJ out there.
Oh, yeah.
So I was happy with that. Overall, I mean, this was, for me, probably the definite highlight of this show.
Did Kane come out afterwards, near the chair, and he sort of tried to attack one of them? I think he tried to attack Brian, and then AJ gave Punk a chair, and he attacked Kane, setting up even more for the triple threat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not even like it was hinting towards it. It was just hitting us in the face with a chair.
Yeah.
You know? And up next... Well, they have a little thing that's advertising Brodus Clay versus Big Show. And I'm just looking here.
Right.
Did you realize that Brodus Clay is 22-0?
Yeah, they were saying it, and I didn't.
That's
you know, I
absolutely
that.
Insane. That's insane. Hey, you know when Ryback faces people in a handicap match?
Yep.
Does that count as, like, two or just one win?
I think it's just one match.
I would imagine so. Win.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's Christian versus The Miz next.
Yeah.
For the... It's not for
the title, though.
I think everything's on the line on this Raw. I don't know why.
I don't know if it is. I think Christian, because he won the belt, obviously came back over the limit, won the belt straight away.
That was predictable.
But I don't know. I didn't like it, because they did that the pay-per-view before. The month before, they had Layla come back from injury and win the title straight away. Now Christian's done it as well. It's kind of like... Oh.
I forgot Layla's back.
The titles don't really mean a lot, really, do they?
Why? I'm from England!
I'm Layla!
Hello, my name's Layla, and I'm
really happy to be the Divas Champion.
It's just her accent's so fucked up.
If she didn't talk, she'd be, you know, be
great. Alright, everyone, I'm from England. How's everyone doing tonight?
It's quite funny she did that, like an Oliver Twist gimmick. That'd be awesome.
We needed someone to have a Fagin gimmick come out with fucking... little children cheat to help him win.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's going in our roster.
The Fagin gimmick. We're using that.
Fagin.
We're using that.
There you go. It's So now we've got
so many.
Penetrator.
The Penetrator.
Magenta and Fagin.
And what's that? No, there was another one, wasn't there?
Was there?
There was a tag team, wasn't there? What was the tag team you made up?
Oh, Jimmy Rape and Robert Drug.
Robbie like Rape and Dave Drugs. Rape Drugs.
Rape Drugs.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
The new tag team. Joining their rank is Fagin.
The new tag team.
Fagin and Dodger. There you go.
That's good.
There we go. Oh, really, it's growing. Growing.
Hello.
Growing.
I'm coming for your belt.
I'm going to hurt you, I am.
Ah, good stuff. Anyway, the
Christian
match.
Christian versus The Miz.
Yeah, forgettable. Forgettable run-of-the-mill stuff.
I never seen Christian. I don't remember Christian have a bad match. Just, he has matches that
that's what
bad.
I mean, this just, wasn't, it wasn't bad, though. It's just run-of-the-mill. It's just middle of the road.
I think Cody was out on commentary, wasn't he? And
he was, and he interfered at one point.
The thing is, because Cody's just going, oh, I brought the title back to greatness, and he didn't.
Not really.
He never defended it.
Is this the same title he brought to greatness that he lost at WrestleMania?
Yes. Yeah. Unless he didn't forget when that happened. He had the title for months on end, and without any breaks at all, clearly.
Fucking dumb.
But they were making out like he's going on, maybe because he's the heel and he's just...
Maybe if they say it enough, it'll be true.
But the idea of a Christian Cody Rhodes feud is, you know, good, because they both...
They're competent workers, man.
But you just...
You know. What Cody needs is that final push into the main event.
Definitely.
You know, that's what he needs. I don't think this feud is going to get him there.
No.
You know?
Bear in mind, they lose as well.
And of course, let's not forget, you know, let's highlight the real loser of this match in every way was The Miz.
The Miz.
The Miz actually sticks around to cut a little promo after the fact, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He kind of standing around the ring, he's moaning that he's not getting any opportunities. Even though he won for Johnny Ace's team at WrestleMania.
That's right.
Which is true.
Misfits.
Here
comes Orton, RKO.
Randy Orton comes out for the...
for whatever reason.
RKO's him.
Gets suspended whilst doing it. Halfway through that RKO, that's when the suspension officially went through. And then he's posing down and we cut backstage, don't we?
I thought it was funny. He had some elaborate posing celebration for hitting the RKO and miss. He just went, I'm going to celebrate this for half an hour.
That's it.
I'm going to milk...
Greatest RKO ever.
Oh, I'm going to wait for a while. Might as well make it last.
60 days. See you in 60.
Yeah.
It's like a paid vacation.
I'll get home, bitches.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah, this is when Ziggler was saying, oh, I want to be like, I want that to be me and all that.
He doesn't mean suspended. No. Yeah.
Even though he was suspended a while ago.
Yeah.
When he first came in as Ziggler, he got suspended.
But he's back now. Kicking ass.
Yeah.
And he accepts, so he's going to be Big Show's choice.
Oh, Broke the Clay, yeah.
Yeah,
Big Show bullies Santino around, doesn't he? And Clay's like, you got beef? I want to eat some.
I smell it. Where are you keeping it?
Where's the beef, man?
Keep it,
I'm hungry.
I know you got some. Don't hold out on me.
Finally, they do it like Clay doing something a bit different, not just having
yes, a, yeah. That was fair. What was interesting. Yeah. He was actually standing up and trying to show a little bit of a mean streak.
Actually saying, oh, I'll fight you, like, which that was pretty cool. But, Yeah.
So, yeah.
Clay versus Show.
At end of the show.
A main event anywhere in the world, I'd imagine.
So, match now is Sheamus versus David Otunga. That's right. This is our champion versus David Otunga. Yeah.
Johnny Ace made a good point earlier because he said to Otunga, like last week, you tapped out to the STF, but I didn't over the limit.
Mm.
So that kind of made Otunga look a bit shitty. Really. He's just pointing out, you know, Johnny Ace is tougher than David Otunga.
Johnny Ace is tough as bricks, man.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Why he's the people's choice.
He took a beating over the limit. Got trash put on him and water.
Yeah.
And he survived.
He was really degraded, but he came back to win it by himself. It was amazing. All by himself.
Yep.
I didn't see anyone else get the pin for him.
No. He pinned him. He pinned the man.
But yeah, Sheamus wins, obviously. What a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Boring, boring, boring. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, let's move on. Main event time. Brodus Clay versus Big Show.
Right.
Arguably, this is the only other notable thing from this Raw, apart from the good Punk D-Bry match.
Yeah.
This match didn't even get started. Big Show comes out to meet Clay, spears him straight away, and then just beats the shit out of him.
Big Show kind of insulted him, said Doink the Clown was better.
He's not wrong.
But the thing with that spear, it was
weird.
Which
doink?
I think, obviously, original. Heel doink.
Heel doink.
When he was good.
When he had dink and...
Not when he had midget dink and all the other shit going on. That was fucking awful. But yeah. But the thing with the spear, well, it was weird because both legends sort of stood there and took the spear. He didn't try and didn't... He just went, come on then.
Yeah, the whole point was to put Big Show over, wasn't
it? Oh, you speared me. I could have moved out of the way, but I just didn't. I just stood there.
I don't know. It was kind of this image of, like, he was meant to try and take it to, like, I think what it was meant to be was, like the immovable object meets the, whatever the fuck.
The irresistible force,
immovable object, and that was supposed to be it, but guess what? Brodus Clay caved.
Clay got owned, pretty much.
Beat up, and you knew it was bad because the Funkadactyls were looking scared in the ring. That's how you knew it was bad news.
Shit's got real.
Yeah.
Kofi and Truth try and make the save, and because they're Kofi and Truth, they don't.
Yeah, they go through. Does one of them go through a table? No.
He threw Kofi into R-Truth, and then he threw Truth like into the ropes, which is like weird.
Yeah, that's right. I remember thinking one of them should have gone through the table because he came from the ring, from the apron. He jumped down, and what he should have done is just carried him over through the table.
He destroyed the table and beat up Clay with a part of it.
That's right. Yeah,
that was kind of weird. He threw Kofi through the...
It's like hitting somebody with a stump of a chair.
Yeah, I was like, just get an actual chair or something. Like,
I don't know, dude.
But he threw Kofi through the barricade, I think it was, wasn't it?
And yeah.
Just carried on beating up Clay.
It did the job, man. I mean, as far as character progression goes, I mean, we've seen this before. It's not new.
No.
But insofar as repeating history... And, you know, if for kids who've never seen a heel Big Show before, this probably would have been like a... My God!
Yeah, oh yeah.
Not that children sound like that.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh my God! Oh, that's awful. This is what kids sound like in my head. Apparently.
This is what kids talk like nowadays. Yeah. Was that just it? You just walked off? That was
the end.
Okay, right. Yeah.
A bit of a damp squib of an end.
Yeah, it was like
itself. But... Yeah. Because he wasn't even standing tall. He just kind of walked away.
Just walked away from the carnage.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, this Raw didn't grip me. I was watching it kind of in the background and doing other things.
Show was good.
Website, stuff like that. Yeah. Two standout parts of this Raw were all that made me pay attention, you know, during the entire hour and a half show. Mm-hmm. Which I suppose from that view, it didn't do very well. And especially if they're moving to 3 hours. Yep. I mean... I'll be honest, I'm dreading that.
They were hyping it. You know,
I am dreading it.
I know. All I'm thinking is, I can't look at it positively, because you're thinking if they've got more time, they've got more time for more guys to get on the show, but I don't think...
It's just more time for more shit.
I just see videos and other shit. And, yeah.
I see the Three Stooges coming back.
permanent spot. Yeah. GMs or something.
New tag champs.
Tag champs.
Tag champs.
The Three Stooges.
Right. That's it. It'll be like the Spirit Squad. They can all be the champ.
Yeah, the Freebirds rule. Yeah. They still defend it.
The stable one, not the team.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's it for Raw, though. I mean, again, I didn't think it was the best.
It was. I think it was better than it had been in recent weeks. This show didn't have Triple H on it or Cena. So, I mean...
I think they're going to be playing trips low for a little while because they're worried about their Lesnar...
Yeah.
A lot of Lesnar allowance and stuff like that, especially now that he might be interested in UFC again. I think they're really sweating it.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see. Yeah. So, let's move on to SmackDown.
Okay.
Are we good?
We good.
Cool. So, SmackDown now. And Sheamus starts the show.
Yes.
With a bunch of smack talk towards Del Rio.
Yes.
But what I want to say about his performance here is it just sounds so like he's just reeling off a script.
Sheamus, the hero good guy, was boasting that he attacked Del Rio from behind last week.
Del
Rio won the match.
How ridiculous.
Yep. He says that Del Rio thinks he's better than everyone else because he has a lot of money. But money can't buy everything, including the title, the World Heavyweight title, he says.
Oh, that's $1 million man.
He says the word arse about 81 times. That's about it, really.
Thinks he can get away with it.
Arse. Arse.
Such a douche. Otunga, of all people, interrupts him.
Yep.
Do you know that this whole thing is still revolving around demanding an apology from Sheamus? That's it.
He ran over. Ace.
Yeah, sorry. That's it.
He just won't do it, will he? He's so stubborn.
He can't swallow his Irish pride. It's ridiculous.
There was such a stupid line in this, right?
Yeah, which one?
Okay. It's about the same thing. Otunga says, right, I want an apology. I'm demanding an apology. And Sheamus goes, fella, it's not Starbucks. You can't just demand a free cappuccino or something. I was like, what the fuck? What? Is it because he carries a flask around? You thought that'd be funny? I don't know.
Nope. Nobody thought it was funny, like, apart from Seamus.
Lame. And then, yeah. Tagger did say one good line, which is, I don't know if you remember this. He goes, you're the whitest bulb, but not the brightest bulb.
Yeah. That was funny.
Actually quite good.
That was funny.
I was like, yes, Otunga.
Made instantly racist because Otunga's black. But
Otunga, you wordsmith of a man. I was like,
Seamus assaults, wait, sorry.
Yeah.
Del Rio gets involved.
Yep.
Before we jump the gun. It's about time, considering it's him in the main event. At
yeah.
He waits a long time.
Exactly.
And, I mean, did him and Seamus even really have an interaction on Monday Night Raw?
Not on the Raw, no, just gone. Because Del Rio beat Santino.
Yeah, they were both on the show, yet they didn't cross
paths. They
had matches,
but yeah. Yep.
They're stupid.
That's pretty dumb, isn't it? But
Del Rio feels like a really weird crowbarred number one contender to me.
Yeah.
He still doesn't feel like it's right that he's number one contender.
That's
you know what I mean?
I don't think anyone's going to buy this pay-per-view for this match.
No, not at all.
But really, you know.
I don't, yeah, I mean, at least with Over the Limit, like I was saying before, I was looking forward to the Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
And I knew that the Punk D-Bry match would be, should hopefully be worth the price alone. But the main events of this upcoming pay-per-view are just like, what?
It's not very exciting.
Not at all, no. Seamus assaults Otunga and proudly calls himself a hooligan.
I think the idea now is he's going to start being referred to as the hooligan.
Yes.
He's got the shirt now.
No longer Great White.
Which is good, because the Great White was terrible. It was like weird. It was like a weird racist. It's like a white power thing.
Yeah,
it
was really weird.
He had the cross on his shirt and all that. It was just weird.
Well, the one that was like white flames on
It was like...
the whole thing was a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, so yeah, he boots Otunga. And then
I know it was supposed to be like... That's like when they were calling Mark Henry the Razorback.
Silverback.
Silverback. Yeah, Razorback's a warthog. Yeah.
That'd be a good gimmick.
Brodus Clay should have been the Razorback. But,
yeah.
Yeah, just I don't know. It's just really weird, these animal allegories. But I don't know.
I think the point of this was Otunga says Del Rio can choose Seamus' opponent, and then Seamus doesn't care.
I think the point of this was to push his fucking T-shirt.
Yeah.
Because they all mentioned the hooligan thing. They all pointed out the T-shirt. And the shirt's fucking lame.
Oh, yeah, I'm a hooligan fella.
Yeah.
He says at the end.
How is that a good thing? How is that a good thing to kids?
Don't trust a hooligan.
Yeah. But that's...
that's the big face on SmackDown.
Yeah.
The number one face on the show saying don't trust a hooligan.
I don't think Americans really know what a hooligan is.
No, I guess not.
But I think it's stupid as well because, I mean, not only is it a really bad moral message for children, and this is a PG show, guys. That's why we're talking about it like this.
Yeah.
But it's also, number one, retarded. You know, there's that. But...
I don't see what was wrong with the Celtic Warrior. That was...
Yeah.
What was wrong
with
that?
Well, apart from the fact that he was a rip-off, an amalgamation of everything Finley did.
Oh, yeah, but... Yeah, but...
Even Hornswoggle. He's stealing from Hornswoggle.
Is he?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
Let's not forget Hornswoggle beat Seamus.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah,
in the Over the Rope Royale.
Battle Royale, where it was.
The one that happened in November.
Yeah. And he got granted the power to speak. That was
when you know you're arrogant about your universe, when you think you're truly a god, Vince.
I forgot about that. No, he won the Battle Royal, and he got granted the power to speak. Because he won the Battle Royal.
That's right.
That was fucking bad.
In November.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The idea, like, Vince McMahon is clearly like, I am god of this universe. Christmas now happens in November. And that's it. And everyone's like, okay, Vince. Man. Sure. Yeah.
Wow.
So does that mean we get time off now?
No. So that was our riveting opening segment.
Yeah. Not good. I mean, anybody who listens to this knows how I'm not a huge fan
building
of
Building up for a world title match.
This really doesn't help.
Might be a decent match, I suppose, but I'm
just not over the hooligan thing. I mean, the don't trust a hooligan thing is so trying to rip off Stone Cold as well. The whole DTA thing,
myself. This is it. He's trying to justify his behavior of attacking people from behind and kicking everyone in the face.
And he's attacking people from behind. He's assaulting people.
Yeah.
Dude, this isn't even clever towing the line, is he a good guy, is he a bad guy, right?
No.
He's a fucking bad guy, and people are cheering
him. That's what we were saying.
It doesn't make sense.
About the Big Show, it makes sense now that he's a bad guy, because when he was a face, he was acting like a heel.
Yeah.
So, that you know.
I mean, this isn't like, you know, D-Bry acts like a heel, but people enjoy watching him because he's good.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't as cookie this is more cookie cutter than that.
Right.
Where simply the WWE are going, he's a good guy. Let's book him like a good guy, even though he's acting like a dickhead.
Because it worked once when Austin was to come down and attack everyone and then leave.
But they tried that again even more recently with Orton.
Yeah. You'll never capture that again. We can't do it twice.
I'll be honest. The only person that's coming close to that kind of anti- authority role is Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor right now. Right. Our sponsor is at Ring of Honor Wrestling. Seriously, he's the only one that's coming close.
They tried
stuff
it again.
With Jim Cornette was great.
They tried it again with Punk. They tried it last year with Punk, and it was.
As soon as this is the problem, right? As soon as they tried to capitalize on it, it became bullshit.
Yeah,
that was the problem. There's nothing genuine about
now
it.
Now Punk's
anymore.
Just like an Uber baby face.
I'm tired of Punk now. Like, no, I love Punk in the ring, and I still like his character when inflections of himself come through. But, I mean, there was a moment on, I think it is the SmackDown, actually, when he's facing off against Kane in the main event. Mm-hmm. There's a moment just before he hits his running knee bulldog combo when all you hear is, CM Punk! CM Punk! Yeah. CM Punk! Ha-ha! And it's just like
Mickey Mouse cheering.
Yeah, but you're just like he's in that realm now where just children cheer for him.
Yeah.
You wait.
Established.
The male demographic are going to slowly turn against Punk.
Yeah,
it's going to happen. It's already happening.
Well, because they've walked down his character so much. So
exactly.
It's not surprising.
At CM Punk through a prism of corporateness now.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, the idea in the first place is that he wasn't interested in any of the corporate stuff. He was
bullshit.
Rallying against
any
it.
Corporate bullshit. That's it.
But there we go.
CM Corporate, more like.
Corporate Man Punk, what you'd be called from now on.
If the corporation was still around and you remember you became the corporate champ, CM would.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a corporate made punk.
I forgot about the
corporate. There you go. CM Punk now stands for corporate man or corporate made punk. Done.
Well.
Let's move on. First match of the night, and who do we have coming back?
It's the return
of Heath Slater.
Heath Slater!
Back to SmackDown. Finally, he's on TV again. Oh, Heath Slater facing off against some guy.
Some dude with a mask.
Coming back. Sin Cara. Finally
Sin Cara.
Back.
He's back. Survivor Series got injured.
I just had to say, right?
Yep.
They were going off on commentary about, like, don't blink and you'll miss him, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, don't blink or I'll miss him fucking injure himself
again.
Injure
himself. Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
And they'll be off for another 11 months or whatever.
But they kind of changed. He's got new entrance attire. It's red and white now.
Doesn't make sense considering the lights when he's wrestling are still blue.
It right.
Looks really jarring.
He got rid of the trampoline entrance. Mm. That's gone. So he's, yeah. So make it that what you will. Although
they should have just replaced him again. Just
yeah.
Had the Sin Cara.
That'd be quite funny. This could put loads of new guys to play Sin Cara.
This should have Sin Cara 3 come in and just come back original Sin Cara again, and then it would be been Camacho,
yeah.
And then slowly the stable would have filled.
Ten Sin Caras.
Sin Caras.
Different colors.
It'd be like Power Rangers of all the ones that Sin Cara's beaten.
Oh, that'd be great. why did I do that?
Right. Do you remember? I think I mentioned this to you before, but do you remember the Evil Sin Cara's theme music?
No.
It was terrible. Let me try pull it up. All right, I think this is it. I found it on YouTube, so I'm just going to hold my iPad to the mic again and have a listen to this. It's kind of monk vibe.
I don't remember,
but,
genuinely don't remember what his music sounded
yeah,
like.
When I was watching it on TV when they had their match, it just sounded like a cow being like slit its throat. It sounds really weird. Here
right.
We go.
Kind of boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not really like. I'm excited for this match.
Alright, I apologize. I must remember it differently.
That can't be it.
Wait. There was a point, because with all the music going and all the sound.
Nice.
It might have been that. That
was a bit different.
Yeah. Because what happened was it sounded like kid you not. When I was listening to it, it just sounded like there's a dead cow just going. Rrr.
I'm sure they've changed the music again as well. I'm not sure.
He wasn't around long enough for that to happen.
I don't remember.
I swear.
I mean, things he's had now.
Whatever. Anyway, he's back and he wins.
He went,
obviously.
He this match was all right. He did all right.
Heath Slater. No, it wasn't really a match. It was a squash.
Was a showcase
for Sin Cara, Heath Slater bounced around a lot for a flip in Sin Cara, and you know he inevitably lost. That's all. It served a purpose. And Heath Slater sucks. Moving on.
I disagree, but
Let's agree to disagree.
Okay.
Oh, so wait. Heath Slater will be champ one day, right? No, he'll never be champ. Maybe he'll never amount to anything. He won't even be remembered.
I think he'd easily be a mid-card champion.
No.
Easily.
Yep. No way. If there was a lower mid-card champ slot, I would give that to him, maybe. But as a U.S. champ, as an Intercontinental champion, well, I don't see
it. I can see it.
He's so boring. Why do you like him?
I don't like him. I just don't. I think they just don't do anything with him. Like his character, he just comes out and goes, I'm a one-man band. That's it.
Even that's enough to make me hate him, right? So he's doing his job, and like he's got that much mic time, right? So instead of making himself come across well, he just comes across like a goon, right? I'm not even talking.
His voice
doesn't
really help him.
When
he cuts promos. He's like.
But I'm not even saying in the sense of like, because you know, I generally like heels and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, I think they're a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
But I just find him boring. There's nothing appealing about his character to me as far as the gimmick goes.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. The problem is he's super one dimensional.
I thought a while ago he should have had a gimmick where if he's going to do the whole rock star thing, he should have been like come out as a rock star. It was like a rock star.
Well, like Jericho's
like
doing now,
like a rock star entourage kind of thing where people come out and sort of like.
He should have come out like he was Billy Ray Cyrus.
Like he has a big big guy backing him up, like a bodyguard guy, and like. Groupies or stuff like that, like an entrance, like entourage thing. Well, it would have been an actual gimmick. He could have played up to the gimmick more. Could have come out and going, I'm a one man rock man, baby, and losing to someone.
Yeah,
which he does now.
They never gave him the time or the money to develop.
They just said one day, oh, you're the one man rock band.
At least he had his WrestleMania moment. At least he has that.
Get in front of a wall, but
arguably, that's more of a what the definition of a moment is. That's more of a moment than Big Show's title win, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Not as good as Mick Foley eating lobster, though. Or
that
the fuck
was the highlight of the whole thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't blame you if you even forgot that he was there.
I think I did. When we did the show, actually.
He got a pop when he came on screen, but yeah, that was over pretty quick. I'll tell you what, though. One of our followers on Twitter, who's pretty active with us, as you all should be, children.
Please.
Ashley Robbins, he tweeted me last night, and he just happened to say, can you believe it's already been 2 months since the Yes phenomenon started?
That's kind of weird.
I can't.
It's
2 months since I was at Mania.
Mm.
That's depressing.
Where's the time go?
Yeah, I know. That's the fucking problem. Where does the time go? Let's push on.
Anyway.
Welcome to Zen Podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to Depression Cast.
Let's discuss life, and, you know, it's all going by so fast. We'll be around forever.
Life is a never-ending struggle, and then you die.
Life-affirming, joyous podcast.
There's no point in anything because it's all going to be futile once you're dead. Harsh Truth Cast. What's up?
Sad Reality Cast.
Okay, this is it. Let's really, really push on now.
Okay.
All right. So the next match was Ezekiel Jackson versus Damian
Sandow. Is
such
great.
Such a fan of him.
He's brilliant.
So good. You're welcome.
he comes in and cuts us promo again.
Zeke's on TV for once, and so let's not gloss over that.
And he had his first match last week against Yoshi Tatsu, and he won in about 10 seconds or so.
We say match. Do you remember when Big Zeke was champion?
I think that was this time last year. He was actually champion, yeah.
What a terrible time.
Wow. A lot changed in a year. This is when Riley was getting a push. You know,
a lot always changes in a year. All you got to do, like, seriously, is use the video game as a yardstick.
That's true, yeah.
You know, just to see
who
was where and stuff like that. It's always really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you could chart John Cena's career through the video games.
Big Zeke.
What do you think with Sandow's bright trunks, the pink and the purple?
I think it's good.
Is it kind of like shades of Macho Man?
Standing out. Yeah.
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 It's a bit weird.
There's a lot of people saying his characters look like the Genius, who's obviously Randy Savage's brother.
Yeah.
It's a lot of shades of that, because at the end he does the cartwheel, and he cuts the promo again this week saying, oh, this is Ignoramus. I don't want to face this Ignoramus.
Maybe he's just trying to riff off that, you know?
Yeah. It's another short match, and he wins.
I thought there was only one... There's one move that just stuck out in my head that I just have to point out.
Yeah.
When he did the side Russian leg sweep.
Yeah.
And he just really flailed his leg out for some reason. He really fucking went, whoa! He really kicked it out before hooking it and then doing it. I just thought it looked really dumb. But
I don't really like it. The thing is,
he's got a terrible finish.
I don't
like
his finish that much. He hasn't really shown any much of his moveset, really.
He needs a better finisher. I think a character like that, the move that makes the most sense would be some sort of paralyzing submission.
Yeah.
You know, he's the type of person that I think they should bring legitimacy to.
He should do the Bob Backlund chicken wing.
He should do a Vulcan neck pinch, and that will be the end every time.
Maybe.
Falcon neck pinch. Three count. Done.
But he's highly entertaining.
I do love when he's posing for the three count.
Yeah, he's
that
just
was funny.
Smiled.
Was quite, yeah. Put his head in his hands and was smiling. That was funny. So, Blind Tag Podcast salutes you, sir. You got a big thumbs up.
Yes. But they're going to, you know, we'll see what happens with him in the future. But for now.
Hopefully something, because we've seen this before. Yeah. At least he made his debut, though. Because do you remember, what's his name? The guy who was always appear backstage and talk about something literal, and then, like, he poured
Oh, Johnny
stuff.
Curtis.
Yeah, him. He never even made his debut.
He's stuck on NXT. I think he had one match on SmackDown.
I thought he made an unofficial debut
as
a lumberjack.
By Mark Henry. I think I remember that.
Oh, really?
And then that was it.
Bye-bye, Johnny
Goodbye,
Curtis.
Johnny. Go to NXT for a while.
I love that all the winners still haven't received their prizes, like the title shots and stuff like that. They're promised.
Wade Barrett won the first one.
And he hasn't had his title shot, has he?
Did he get one? I'm sure he must have got one at some point.
I don't think it was NXT related. That's the thing.
Season two
the one who won with R-Truth, he was supposed to get a tag team title.
That was Curtis, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had that.
Low key won the second one. He's gone. He was gone within 6 months. He was gone
because they packaged him with Laycool,
and then it made him an absolute jobber, and that was stupid.
Yeah.
I can't remember who won the others. I think there was a Divas one. I think Caitlyn won that one.
Who cares?
Look where she is now.
NXT is pointless. Ryback versus two jobbers again. I'll be honest, this is the first time the jobbers have been really horrible on the mic.
They were shit.
They were absolutely terrible.
That was bad. He was like, the Ryback's
At least they were both as bad as each other.
Yeah.
You know, that made it
Cole funny. Just laughing at them.
Yeah. Cole and Book both just couldn't help themselves.
You know, it's bad when Booker T's guy and you have shit. You're bad on the speaking. You just can't speak.
These guys can't talk on mic, man. They're terrible.
These guys are terrible talkers.
What do you say, Shocking Ducky, man? What do you say? Oh, man.
Ryback ragtags them boys.
Dude, what's with Ryback's eye? Is it pink eye?
Last weekend.
Did somebody fart in his pillow?
It was last weekend. Fucked up eye. It was horrible. Because they do like an ECU of his face now, and it's just, he was like, oh, what the fuck?
It looks like somebody just farted on his face.
Maybe that was my
pink eye.
Maybe.
I will say, though, I'm getting bored of Ryback quick now. It's the same old shit, time after time. And it's bad that they've regressed, because they were moving on into having him have matches with actual superstars. And now they're having him against jobbers again.
Because the thing, they're always doing it to both of them at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
It's impressive that he's... But, yeah.
Exactly. It's getting boring. He needs to have a proper feud.
So that's all well and good, but, you know...
I mean, unless they're really trying to relive Goldberg and we can get comfy and just expect this.
Maybe
for
they
a
will
eventually
like build up having a streak or something.
Easiest job ever for him right now.
He must be
loving life.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Go there for a minute and destroy someone.
He looks awesome in the ring, so you know he's got the ring rats knocking on his door. He's getting paid a solid wage to come in and just do an easy gig, and he's seeing the world. The only thing he's got to suffer with is that pink eye.
Now he's
got
to pretend to be Skip Sheffield and go around going, yep, I'm a country boy, That was dumb. Yeah. Good on you, Ryback.
Good on you, Razorback.
The Razorback.
So, and we're at the match now that was built up earlier where Ziggler.
Del Rio picked Ziggler. Ziggler asked if he could be the
opponent. Yeah, I mean, Ziggler picked himself.
Yeah.
Really. I mean... That makes Del Rio look kind of weak in itself, arguably.
Yeah, Ziggler went,
Ziggler just went, it should be me. And Del Rio goes, you know what? You have something in your eye. Pink eye.
Is it Ryback's disease? Is it getting around? It's spreading his disease.
There seems to be something going around. And it's like, you just, I sound more like Santino with that.
Yeah.
I imagine Santino would go around farting on people's pillows.
It is your destiny to have pink eye.
So he goes out and faces Sheamus. And Ziggler, as always, puts on a strong performance. And I will say, I mean, he's selling well for Sheamus as well as owning his own offense as well. So he's looking strong throughout. The only thought that I had from this was Ziggler's challenge with this match isn't about beating Sheamus, which you all knew he wouldn't do anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's about making Sheamus look good and as though he were a credible champion.
Yeah.
That was his job.
That's what Ziggler will do. Ziggler will bump. It's only for Brodus Clay.
He's a company man. You know, he's doing it for the company in the hope that one day they will see what they have and
push
him. You've
got to think they can't keep, you know, keeping him down in the mid-card forever. But I don't know.
I hope not. Topper of X Factor as well. We got that was pretty sweet.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
was pretty cool. I've or Facebuster, yeah. seeing as it's not X-Pac.
The X Factor.
But yeah, I thought Ziggler did well in this match, and Sheamus was Sheamus.
And again, they had the at the end, Swagger came out and was ineffective, and obviously cost Ziggler the match. So yeah, go on Ziggler.
Go on Ziggler.
Go on your own. Go forth.
I'm still hoping because I made that prediction way back in January that this would be the year Ziggler. Yeah. And I think I said that he would be champ by this summer.
There's still time. I
guess. Summer's technically only just starting, isn't it? Really, it's kicking up. So
he's got time,
even though it's kind of overcast and gray and rainy right now. Yeah. But oh well. So next up, we have a tag team match,
yes.
And it's good because while it lasts, it's good while it lasts because. Darren Young and Titus O'Neil, now officially known as the Primetime Players.
Primetime Players.
Are they players or play-as?
I'm guessing it'd be play-as.
Because you're a big racist?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm not racist.
No. You just said you were. I've got it on tape. Well, okay. Digital audio.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
I hate that.
You commie bastard. But yeah, so it's Santino, yeah. Ryder. Are they Cobro or...
Well, they stick on the name or not. They just... I don't know.
I don't know. I think we've talked about this already longer than the match actually lasted.
Yes.
This match, I was getting excited because my first note was we're finally seeing a tag team division forming in the WWE, and then the match ends in 5 seconds, and I was just like, oh, I guess not.
It was weird. It was abrupt. It was like they were...
That's the problem. You're finally forming credible teams, and then you're not giving them time to have matches.
This is it.
That's the problem. And to be honest with you, we have a couple of paper tag champs anyway, so it's not like
exactly,
any of the division matters right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Give it. I mean, like I said, check out that promo by the Usos, man. Like, they did a good job because they were talking about... There's a little bit of repetition in it. I won't deny it. But they were just basically talking like, we don't. It's not just a division to us. We live it every day because we are blood brothers.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And who better to push in the tag division into the tag belt spot?
The actual tag team.
Exactly.
They've been a team the whole time.
I mean, obviously, yeah. You can't just say, oh, you're not a good tag team unless you're brothers. That's obviously fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
But... they would be a good starting point to get behind, I think.
I agree with you. That's all I have to say.
Okay. I was taking a drink of Coke. I was hoping you would carry on.
No. just awkward dead air. Just dead silence.
I refuse. Santino and Ryder celebrate, only to be attacked from behind by Big Show.
Oh, shit.
You knew something was going to happen.
Yep.
I swear, you know... this is the point I made earlier. You know, Big Show's heel turns have always been the same. This is something you're going to be looking into. So I'm looking forward to that article now.
Yes,
you know. Also, incidentally, check out my article on the WWE's misuse of Ted DiBiase. It's a little bit dated now because I did write it. I did write it as a sample piece for a magazine late last year. Again, so it is a little dated. I don't talk about his injury or anything like that, but... If you can put it within the context of the time, it's pretty good, if I say so myself. What do you think?
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Honestly, I thought it was another overly long segment of Big Show fucking them all up.
Like, yeah, him
beating
for a while,
him up, yeah. Him beating him up and slowly dragging him around the ring lasted forever.
Yeah.
Dude.
Maybe that's the idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Next up, we're backstage. D-Bry is on screen for a minute and literally throws AJ's world upside down again in that short period of time.
That's right, yeah.
It's great. Because that's how much you can do in a short period of time if it makes sense and is smart and is done well.
He's trying to manipulate AJ.
Exactly.
Punk's using you. He doesn't really care about you.
Unlike me. Unlike Punk. But that alone was enough. I think it was great. It was great. I think he was on screen for less than a minute. It was already the highlight of SmackDown.
Because there was a Punk promo earlier, but it was not the same old. Just
it was a bit boring.
I hate Johnny Ace.
I hate Johnny Ace. Kane is a dangerous opponent. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Next up is Tyson Kidd versus Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
And Tyson Kidd sports a super new look.
He's got new blue tights.
Is it new? Because I don't watch NXT or Superstar. All right, yeah.
I've never seen him wear that before. So,
yeah. He's got hair and he's wearing tights, so there's that.
Yeah. Good for him.
Cody Rhodes beats him.
Yeah.
Christian makes a really weird comment.
Christian on commentary.
He basically says, I'm old.
Yeah.
Is what he says. When he says, because he's trying to show off his experience, I think, when he goes off
That's
of 1-1 about saying, Cody was only 13 when I won my first title.
That's true.
And for my line of thinking instantly went, you're old.
That was the light heavyweight title.
Yeah, there you go. Was that back when he was in the Brood?
98, yeah.
Brood against Taka Michinoku in Kai and Tai.
Against Taka Michinoku, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There you go.
He lost it to Gilbert.
High five that fucking memory.
Well, that was great, yeah.
Good times. Mm. But this is my point, though. It's just like, you were 13 when I won my first, but you're old, Christian.
Yeah, because that was Cody saying, oh, he's an old man. Mm. And,
there's more of an argument in that than Christian going, I've got a wealth of experience.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Which is true, of course, because Christian is Christian and he's very, very good. But I don't know. I think he's a... bear with me. All I think he's too old to be in the mid-card race the way he is so desperately. He should have had longer title reigns and be more solidly in the main event.
I felt bad for
him
last summer because what they did with him.
With Orton.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. The matches were good.
Like I said, at SummerSlam, they had a pretty good match. And I enjoyed the finish where he won the belt by pushing Orton, by spitting in his face.
That's right.
He kept the belt. And that was smart. You know, that was a storyline win, and I thought that was pretty cool.
But all their matches were good. It's just... Christian lost it in 2 days after winning it. And then...
Yeah, and they
knew from then on, he wouldn't... They would always get the upper hand on him. You know?
Yeah, it's not right, and it's not fair. But, I mean, again... How old is Chris? Like 35?
This is why the whole... I think so. Something like that.
He's not exactly old, man, you know, in the grand context of things. But in the terms of where he should be at with his career, given the amount of time and love that he's put into it, he deserves to be in the main event title picture.
He's running TNA when he was in the main event. Yeah, I think he kind of proved that he could, you know, he could do it. He was good in that spot. I think TNA was one of the best TNA of anyone who's ever been in TNA.
I agree. Christian Cage's time is. I always remember when he got ousted by the main event mafia.
That's right.
Because that was probably the smartest bit of booking TNA ever did. Because even though it made Christian look weak, unfortunately, the way it was done was because of his contract being up.
He was leaving, yeah.
Yeah, it gave him a chance that if he re-signed, he'd come back on a vengeance storyline. Mm. And if he left, well, it just makes the main event mafia look strong.
That's it.
You know, so that was probably the best last time TNA was really smart about anything. I mean, just this week, apparently, it was the show started with Bobby Roode versus Sting, which is a pay-per-view main event in the happening.
Yeah.
Free for TV in a stupid lumberjack.
Guilty of this all the time. It's just...
A lumberjack stipulation.
Well, they'll have a match on pay-per-view, then the next show, they'll do it on TV again. They'll just repeat it. It's just...
Well, we just had that
they'll
with
just
Punk
show it.
And
they'll
D-Boy,
just do it again.
Which is pretty funny.
No, well, that's true, but... Yeah.
But I don't know. Cody Rhodes wins.
Christian
holds the belt up to taunt him.
This is why I don't like this. Chris has come back and suddenly he's a face. It's like, it just kind of feels I don't really, because it's like...
Whenever anybody comes back from injury, they're always a face.
Before he was gone, he was all talking about how, you know, he was on Johnny Ace's side. He wanted Johnny Ace to get power.
Even last on the pay-per-view when he came back, when he appeared, he aligned with People Power, didn't he?
And he had a legitimate grievance about how he wanted another match for the title or whatever. And he kept
Match.
He kept pushing that. But
yeah, you're right, actually. He should have come straight back in with the one more match thing.
But no.
And what he should have done is been the whiny, pathetic heel, and that would have been great.
Why couldn't he have beaten Santino for the US title?
What he should have done is gone off of that vein, you're totally right, come in straight with the one more match stuff, whiny and bitchy and moany, so people instantly hate him because you're just like, oh, shut the fuck up, right? And give that'll instantly put him in the main event title scene.
Right.
You know, even if it is a weak heel, he's there.
Yeah.
And he does weak heel very well. He does comedy heel very well, too.
This is it. This is why, since he's been back, he hasn't been getting cheered in any great way, because the fans are kind of like, oh. They're not stupid. They know that, you know, they're aware that he was a heel before, and it just seems a bit,
It's just like, we were kind of talking about it earlier. Some people work better as heels than faces.
Yeah.
Christian's one of them. Definitely. Jericho's another, you know? It's just a simple fact.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't help it. I mean, after this match, just made one note. You know, just it's another SmackDown with loads of short matches.
Oh yeah,
again, it was really disappointing. Do you have anything else to add to that?
Nope.
No.
That's it.
Cool. So we're backstage very quickly as we're seeing. I think it's Kane walking to come out.
Yes.
And they preface this fight by saying it's been 14 years since Kane won the WWE title, and that made me feel instantly old.
It really has been.
Instantly old. I couldn't believe it because, obviously back when he won the WWF title at
King of the Ring 98, I think it was.
King of the Ring
98.
Yeah. No, King of the Ring 98 was Hell in a Cell, Undertaker versus.
Yeah. It was Kane v. Austin in the first blood match. Was it King
of the Ring? Yeah, that's right. I don't think that was King of the Ring. I think that might have been.
Or maybe it wasn't the one after that, whatever that was.
It wasn't Bad Blood, was it? That was Undertaker, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Bad Blood.
I can't remember.
I apologize. It was King of the Ring 98. You were right. You were correct, sir.
Woo!
I should know better than to question your
no one questions me
pay-per-view card logic.
Vast knowledge.
And knowledge, yeah. You no, just no. know the card top to bottom.
I don't know the rest of the card. Apart from, there's a two-match card, wasn't it, really?
Well, there was, yeah. Undertaker and Mankind and that. But yeah, 14 years.
I think it's funny how they still talk about it, even though it was like a, it was a one-day reign. the next night, I'm Raw. Yeah, Austin won it back from him. Yeah,
he won it back in less than 24 hours.
that's it. But yeah,
so it's been 14 years since he had a less than 24-hour reign.
Yeah,
Kane's career is amazing.
They still talk about it. Yeah.
In all seriousness, Kane's career is amazing because he's a constant now. He's
so
just a fixture.
Yeah.
He's a fixture there. He'll never go away. He'll always have a job with them. You know, eventually he'll become a producer backstage
probably,
or whatever.
You have to imagine.
He gets a solid pay rate. Well, he's well respected and looked after. He's a ring general.
Oh, definitely.
Like Kane, even though he may never really become champion again, he's just always going to be there.
People will buy him if they add him to it. Well, maybe not.
Couldn't say the same about Isaac Yankem, though.
No. Or the fake Diesel.
I would love it if it was Isaac Yankem that was this long-staying. Just 10, 13 years of an evil dentist.
He was Jerry Lawler's dentist. That was the original thing.
If you haven't seen that YouTube, it's fucking
Lawler
hilarious.
Lawler was tuning with Bret Hart. He's like, my dentist is going to come and kick your ass. I was like, what? Huh?
It's brilliant stuff. You got to watch it. Just check it out. It makes no sense whatsoever. And you see a young Kane with his curly hair.
I wish his finishing move was like pulling someone's tooth out. That'd been awesome. Or after his match, just pull their teeth out.
You call it the driller or something like that.
I don't know.
So anyway, the match itself, CM Punk versus Kane.
Yeah, sorry.
And I'm going to preface this because I remember a few years ago when I was at a SmackDown taping over here at the O2, these two were pretty much opening the show. I can't remember if it was for ECW or SmackDown. And all I remember was them fucking up a tornado DDT or a counter DDT spot 3 times before they did it. So they had to reshoot the spot. So he did it. He fucked it up. So he got up, got back in kind of the rough same position so that they could cut between it.
Yeah.
And then they did it again, fucked it up. And then on the 3rd time, they finally did it and got the pin. It was messy as shit.
That's
and a lot has happened since then, obviously.
Happened, yeah, when they edit the shows.
Because
yeah.
CM Punk was certainly not where he is now. Whereas Kane was still at the same place. This is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah,
he hasn't moved.
He's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I wonder if AJ gets half of the money of every Crazy Chick shirt that's sold.
Are they Crazy Chicks?
Because considering, like, without her, it wouldn't exist.
It says CM Punk's name on it, so I'm not sure.
Poor AJ.
Yeah.
Getting stiffed.
I'd stiffer. Oh! No.
What are you going to say about this match?
They were saying about it.
We're not live.
Stop talking.
Just tap the mic. Is this thing on?
They were saying it's like the first... I can't remember the last one was. I'm trying to think who was in it, but I can't remember. Because it was the first WWE title match on SmackDown in 4 years.
Yeah, that's right.
I was wondering who... I think it might be Triple H involved because he was the WWE champion on SmackDown.
That sounds about right. Yeah, because he moved over to SmackDown, didn't he?
Yeah, it might have been Jeff Hardy or something like that. I can't remember.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. How time flies.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Hardy left in 2009?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't, like, that was only 3 years ago. It feels like a lot longer.
That's it, yeah.
That, since he started fucking up his life.
Basically, yeah.
Since he threw it all away.
But CNA still kept him around.
Jeff Harvey!
They still kept him there, even though he fucked up a pay-per-view main event by being...
Oh my god, that was... I'll tell you what, right? That was the match that made me stop caring. That is the match that made me move away. I'd never looked at TNA the same, and I never watched it the same since that match.
Yeah.
So there you go, TNA. Thank Jeff
Hardy.
Well
done, TNA.
The guy you brought back to push again. Dumb.
That was kind of sad. But this match...
Even his brother, who's supposed to be the smarter than two...
God.
Throw it all away.
That's a sad state of affairs, but Matt Hardy's a smart one.
The Hardy brothers, man.
Whoa.
Oh, seriously. Yeah. They were once so great.
Yep.
What a fall from grace.
I know. Punk versus Kane was the main event, and... It was alright.
It was okay. I think it was a bit overly long for what it was.
Yeah. It was kind of plodding because Kane was on offense for most of it and it was, you know...
Did you say plodding?
Plodding. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the right word for it, I think. Definitely. Like, it was by the numbers.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't expect to go all out on SmackDown main event. But,
it was a pretty slow-paced match as well until D-Bright gets involved right at the end.
Yeah.
And then they start having these pretty cool spots form together.
Obviously, AJ came out again to cheer on Punk, I guess.
D-Bright gets involved, causes the DQ with his double missile dropkick.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then he started doing his awesome kicks where he was going, Yes! I love that. and then Johnny Ace comes out, goes, Triple threat! People power! Then he smiles like a fucking idiot as the show ends.
Yeah, Kane chokes them both.
Yeah. But that was literally J-Lo's interaction.
Yeah, that's what he did on the show.
His involvement.
I didn't think he was going to be there. He just came.
Trundles out.
No way out! Triple threat match! People power!
That's it.
Yep.
That was literally it.
And then AJ's sitting in the ring with Punk and Brian, and you were like, whose side is she going to be on? Oh, the intrigue.
They're both unconscious. Who's she going to... Oh. Who's she going to go with?
So, yeah, again, I'm not that excited about Brian Punk versus Kane.
I think this is a pretty weak of wrestling.
Yeah.
Wasn't great. I think SmackDown edges just ahead, maybe in terms of story.
Yeah.
But match-wise, Raw came out on top, just simply because of the D-Bry.
Yeah, Punk and Brian, yeah.
D-Bry, D-Bry and Punk, yeah.
Yeah.
That alone. But yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Where are we going from here?
Where are we going? Well, No Way Out, obviously, just sort of not important. It's just a holdover pay-per-view where I can't see any of the main titles changing.
It's a real shame to bring this pay-per-view back to do nothing important with it.
No.
You know, they might as well have just kept Capital Punishment.
I think this is because they had the steel cage match. That was the only reason they called it No Way Out, conveniently enough. Because they've only announced three matches. This show versus Cena, the Triple
Threat.
It's
what, 2 weeks away?
And Sheamus
17th?
Del Rio.
Is that right?
17th, yeah.
A couple of weeks away. And
obviously, none of the three matches really instill much excitement. I can't imagine anyone being particularly excited about seeing any of them. But there we go. I mean,
I wouldn't pay for this.
So many times we've seen Cena versus Show. It's not even with the steel cage stipulation. It's not.
Dude, it's like going back to the year 2003, 2004.
Yeah,
when they feuded for the U.S. title belt.
Yeah,
that was Cena's very first WrestleMania 20,
yeah.
And he beat Show for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
So this shit is fucking done and old, dude.
Yep.
I don't know.
Very much. Again,
Normally I try to look at this really positively and I say I'm looking forward to where it's going, but this time around, I could be honest, I don't care about Sheamus.
No.
I don't care about Kane being in the match. I don't even really care about Punk anymore to that degree. The only person I really care about that keeps me tuned in is D-Bry.
Daniel Bryan.
That is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally that is it. And that's not enough. I need more as a fan. And I don't think what they're doing is really enough. They're not having captivating storylines that make sense. They're asking their good guys to call themselves fucking hooligans and assault people from behind.
They've forgotten how to build matches. The thing is, the pay-per-view is having in so often. They only get a few weeks or a couple of weeks to build it.
That is the problem. I think last year we had 14 pay-per-views in 12 months. Yeah. How does that even make sense?
And that's why there's so many weak, like Punk Brian was a weak build. You know,
hardly any build. That's what we were complaining about in the build up to it.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
That's what they need to do. We need more build up so these matches matter. You know, that's the problem that's happening right now.
They're obviously building up Big Show as a force to be reckoned with. And
yeah.
Obviously, Cena's going to topple the
giant. But again, I mean, I don't even care about that because I've seen it before.
No, exactly.
That's what I mean. Like,
and you know that Cena will just topple the giant or whatever.
Yeah. Going into No Way Out and ultimately coming out of No Way Out is all predictable and stuff I don't care about because I've seen it before.
Unless maybe at No Way Out, Show wins with some shenanigans of Johnny Ace or something, and then the next pay-per-view.
I reckon the only way that Show... Cena. Well, I easily see, unfortunately, Cena winning, but trying to keep Show strong, but dumb. I see a repeat of Valentine's Day Massacre.
Maybe throwing Cena through the cage.
Yeah, and then a Show will lose the match and look dumb, but beat the shit out of Cena.
They've done that before. There's never time. What year
Bobby
it was,
Lashley threw himself through the cage onto Umaga.
Oh, yeah.
One time.
I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah.
That's the one good thing Lashley ever did in WWE.
I liked Lashley. Yeah. I did like Lashley.
No, I remember, what was the one the other year? I can't remember what year it was when Show... I think he had a match with Cena, then he threw for the spotlight. Do you remember that? Was that 2009?
Was that Show?
Yeah, he threw Cena for the searchlight on the stage.
Yeah, I remember.
And the next night, Cena came back out. Cena came back the next night.
He was fine.
It was like, oh, fuck it, I got through for the searchlight.
He got broken arm at Extreme Rules.
I think it was 09, because they had the WrestleMania triple threat match, Edge versus Show versus Cena. That was, I think.
Ah, that would make sense.
Or 8 or 9.
Yeah. Cool.
It's never been a good Cena versus Show. It's never been a great match or feud, so, you know, but.
I mean, can you think of somebody that Show is really feuded with that's been exemplary?
No, that's what I'm saying. Especially not recently. I really
can't. The only time Show was really relevant was when he first came in.
Yeah, definitely.
And even then, in 99, by 2002, WrestleMania! Woo!
This is it. I think because they didn't have his own calls, and I think he had attitude problems, and they sent him back down to developmental for a bit, and he wasn't, you know.
Whatever.
Ever since then. 10 years. Yeah.
Well, I'm good to wrap up now.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, I don't want to talk about this in too much detail because what would you have to write about in your article?
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, that's thinking that.
So look forward to that. Thank you guys for checking us out again. We are working hard on the dream matches as soon as WWE 12 servers fucking allow us. We're trying to bring you Kevin Steen versus CM Punk versus Bobby Roode. So check that out.
Yeah.
Check out our YouTube channel. Support us there at youtube.com/blindtagpodcast. Check out our new website at Blind Tag Podcast. And be sure to tune in next week and every week. From me, I'm Steve.
I'm Joe.
Remember to get your smart on. For more information, check out blindtagpodcast.com. And don't forget to check us out on our social network sites too. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you can even email us at gmail.com. All of the usernames for those are at blindtagpodcast. Don't forget to rate and subscribe on YouTube, and also subscribe, like, and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It'd be much appreciated. And of course, tune in every week in order to get your smart on.